not, we'll just go on. If you don't, I'm good if you're good. Okay, then. All right, we're going to share tonight on a subject that, first look at it and the first sound of it, it sounds like, well, there shouldn't be too much to this, but there is. I'm going to share a short word on understanding yourself, understanding your heart, your own heart. And the word doesn't say that that's an easy thing at all, but let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Life and death is in the power of your word. Father, your word is living and active, and it's freely for everybody. It'll come alive in anybody that will begin to take it into them. So tonight we give ourselves to take the word into our hearts, and in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, and I'm going to read several verses there, beginning with verse 5, and I'll just say a few things about that. We got... are looking at an account of Solomon, who became the third king of Israel. His mother and father were Bathsheba and King David. And what I'm going to read is an account of a dream that he had, where the Lord spoke to him in a dream, had something to say to him. And I'm going to read in the NLT. The word says, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. And I want to say that the Lord, one of the most common ways I've heard of in my lifetime that people hear from God is in a dream. God is still talking to people. God is still healing people. God is still saving people and doing all the rest, and including meeting people in a dream, warning, leading, explaining, blessing people in dreams. And that night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said to Solomon, what would you like? What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. So then Solomon replied, you showed great and faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you, and you have continued to show this great and faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David. But I'm like a little child who doesn't know his way around. Verse 8, and here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Verse 9, so Father, give me an understanding heart. That's my thought tonight, an understanding heart, so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased with Solomon, that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you've asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. But I will also give you the things you did not ask for. So I think it's actually easier to ask God, Father, give me understanding with this person so you know how to be married to them, or how to minister to them, how to lead them or be a part of them or follow them than it is to understand your own heart. As I look at scriptures, it's just the way I see it. I may be seeing it wrong, but I'm going to share. Look in Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 26 and 27 there. Some of my favorite verses, because they're talking about mankind. And we see here in verse 26, and God said, let us, okay, I want you to look at that. God said, let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us together, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. One of the things that we can say if we're going to understand ourselves and understand our heart is we're like God. We are made in the image of God. And we are made to really think the way that God thinks and be the way that God is. Let us make man in our image. So that gives us a clue. And I think it's important that we understand. You know, I like what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. He said, I don't understand myself. Why do I do things that I don't want to do? And how, why is it hard for me to do the things that I want to do? The things, the way that I want to present myself, to be kind, to be helpful. What's the problem? And he said, I really don't understand. And I have to say that at times I feel the same way about things like my own behavior, my own decisions that I make, and how I came to them. And I find that when you begin to ask about yourself, you're asking a very complicated, deep, deep subject when you begin to ask about yourself. I challenge you to look in the Word for Bible verses about understanding one's self, and you'll find them to be far and few between. But what you will find is questions from Job, questions from the Apostle Paul. Why am I like this? See, we can. It's easier to change things if we understand why they're like they are. I hope that makes sense to you. So that's the thought here that I have tonight. So let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let mankind have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So we're made in the image of God. And what I believe, as I understand, and at the place I am in life now, if I'm going to understand myself, I'm going to have to understand God and the way he looks at things. And that's not necessarily evil. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, I'm just going to read to you a little bit of that. The Word says some things to help us to understand that we're made in the image of God, but, and here's the but. In verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Okay. And I'm going to tell you, we have to really be careful what we think. It's a very private thing. A lot of times we see it that we're alone. We're just with ourselves, but that's just not so. And God can see our thoughts. And our thoughts determine what we dwell on can be what we're going to do. And you have to take control of your thoughts. I've heard people say in our generation, I can't help you. I fall in love with, I just follow my heart or my understanding. Well, you better, or you're going to have a messed up life. If you marry the wrong person and you don't marry somebody that God told you to marry, that's going to be very hard. One of the things I just knew when I was a young fella was that God had told me to marry Millie. And I think if I had not married the right person, I would have been married more than once. But I married the right person. Not only that, I've tried to yield myself to the Lord and see things God's way. And I'll tell you a big secret. Your life, past yourself, your ministry or your doings, God's plan for your life, begins with, if you have a husband or a wife, it begins with them. That's the first part of your ministry. And if you're failing there, it's hard to do good else past that to your... And then also anybody that's in your house, your children. And then it goes to your neighbors. See, when I wake up in the morning, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a neighbor, I'm a friend, I'm an enemy, and a million things more. But before my feet hit the ground, I'm a son. I'm a son of God. And I say that in this light. More than anybody in this world, I'm accountable to him to do what he wants me to do. And I'm accountable to him to let him make me what he wants me to be. And I'm accountable to him to know his word, because I cannot do what I do not know. And I know people that know the word far better than me, but I don't know anybody personally that does, because I counted my very existence and success in life and what I knew about the word of God. I tried to learn it. I had a supernatural experience with the word of God that left me, it changed my life. After I had that experience, I found it easier to recall verses and to understand verses more and to be able to share the word better than I ever had. But we're talking tonight about understanding one's self. And in Isaiah chapter 55, it's not put down, but you can put it if you want, but you don't have to. This is very familiar, because this is a very important place in the word of God. For my thoughts, this is God speaking, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now we're made in his image, we're made in his likeness, but we're human, and we have a very, very small scope of understanding compared to the eternal God who made all of the angels, including Lucifer or Satan. He made him too. And nobody understands more than God. And what he's saying here is, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And what that means, a deep study of that means this here. I do things that you might not understand unless you really seek me and pray. I do things that you don't understand today, but you might understand in 5 years. You might understand in 10 years my purposes. But what you're going to have to do is seek me and seek my will. The Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your will be done. As Jesus the Son said while he was on earth, nevertheless, not my will, God, but your will be done. That is the beginning of life, of success in this earth, and living as long as you possibly can. And I don't think people have to die as miserable as people are dying. I believe that there are relatively few people that know God in this life. The word says so. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it, that leads to eternal life. but with the help of God. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. And it's getting more and more broad. You know, they're doing things, Mary, I never thought of doing, evil things. You know, we just had a man in our community killed in a terrible way. And people are wondering, why did somebody do that to him? And you know, I don't know. People do things for the strangest reason, and don't ever think that all people are the same, because that's just not true. Be careful. I found myself saying to Evan last night, I said, son, be careful who you go off with. You just don't know who's going to do what. But if you're a believer, before your feet hit the floor, before you're anything else to anyone else, you're a child of God. And we owe him. And we need to pay attention to him. And if you want to have the best day that you can have, follow him in that day. You'll have the best day. You'll have more peace. You'll have more of a sense of accomplishment in your life, because every one of you are very special. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. And God doesn't make junk. And there is nobody just like you. And when you were born, before you were born, there are Bible verses that tell us that you had certain gifts and talents and anointings on your life. And there's nothing more beautiful than being a person that is doing what you were created to do. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven returns not hither, but waters the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word. There is no such thing as a Christian. One of the things of being, you know, you're born again. It happened to me. Nobody had to tell me. I was not raised in church. I was not raised. I was a Catholic for a while. My mother had me baptized as a Methodist, and we didn't go to church. The only one that went to church was my grandmother, and she never tried to ask anybody to go to church. She just went to church herself. And so shall my word. So shall my word. You know, when I got born again, it happened in a moment. And by the next day, I had a Bible that I could understand. And I began to read it and feed on it. As the word says in Luke, Matthew 4 and Luke 4, man shall not live by bread alone. Your existence is not on having enough to eat. It's not on having all your bills paid. It's not on having a nice car to drive. It's not in having a nice home. It's not in having fame. It's not in having extreme wealth. Your happiness is when you live by, and what's part of your life is that you constantly feed on the Word of God. That you, what does it mean to feed on the Word of God? Well, first of all, you know it. You pray about it, and you begin to do what the Word says. Become a doer of the Word. You become a complete person, and you begin to grow as a Christian, because you're eating growth food, as Peter said, as newborn babies earnestly desire the sincere of the milk of the Word, so that you can grow. And in Hebrews, where it says, "When for the time you ought to be." Eating the strong meat of the Word, you're still on the milk of the Word. We have to grow and progress in the Word if we're going to grow and progress in life, no matter what you do for a living. It's not only people that are in the ministry. If you're a believer, you must actually feed on the Word of God, because feeding on all these things. I remember many years ago when Freddie Prinze committed suicide. And I asked God the Father, I said, Father, how could somebody that was so loved and so famous and so wealthy enough, how in the world could somebody like that want to take their life? I couldn't understand that. If you got everything, and he said, well, the one, you know, and I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but you said, you got to be born again. Because life is more than having enough of everything or having an abundance of everything material. Life is more than that. That will not necessarily make you happy. Alice Cooper was raised in the church. And he's been married to his wife now going on 50 years. And he talked about having everything that a person could want. And he said, yet I begin to destroy myself. I got away from God. And he was known to have the biggest chunk of cocaine many people had ever seen in their life. A chunk of coke, you know what that would cost? Tell me what we do in Arkansas. We take methamphetamines. Because, you know why? Because we can't afford coke. Now, I've got some relatives up north, they can afford coke. They'll both kill you, destroy your life, lead you the wrong way, and lead you away from God and His will. But Alice Cooper said, with everything that I had, I begin to say, like the song, is that all there is? He couldn't understand it until he went back to his roots. And he was raised in church, and he was raised to be born again, and his wife was born again. And she said, we're not living like this unless you want to stop. And your stop is going to begin with recovery. Spirit-filled God recovery. And he's on that road. And he's just, if you can Google anything up and you can hear Alice Cooper's testimony, what he has to say about the Lord, how much he loves him. But so shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So the Word of God, one of the names of Jesus our Savior is the Word of God, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, talking about Jesus. And if you have an experience where Jesus is in your heart, the Word is in your heart. All you have to do is connect with the written Word, and it will explode and come alive and be very important in your life. So, getting back to our thought, how can I understand myself? How can I understand why I do the things I do? I ask myself, especially when I do things that are wrong, why? What has made me like that? And I find it seems easier. I can find out if I'm wanting to know part about somebody's life. Lord, give me understanding. Like Solomon said, help me to be a good king. Help me to understand your people. I pray, Lord, help me to understand this person or that person. Help me to see what they see. Help me to understand, Father. And I can sometimes get a little something and understand somebody a little better. But when it comes to myself and some of the questions I ask, it's a little deeper. It took me a little while longer to understand how things work and how to understand yourself. And you cannot understand yourself in a healthy way without being a believer. It's totally impossible. You have to, first of all, be a believer. And if you don't feed on the Word, how can you grow? How can a baby grow without milk, without food? It's the same with a born-again person. So I want to share with you, everybody that's hearing this, even those that will hear by social media, they're alive. So there's still hope for you. There's still hope for me. But we have to understand ourselves. We have to understand God. And to understand God, you cannot understand God deep enough. It's according to what you know about this Bible right here. It's according to what you know about this Bible. There are over 7,500 promises to mankind, about 8,600 to the earth and everything together, but just to mankind. And to not know those, and not how do you have confidence in what's yours and what's not yours if you don't know the contract? This is your contract. This is who you are, what you have a right to in this life. And it's a lot more than most people I see. I have buried more people that I did not sense that they died in their time. I don't think everybody's made to be to live a full long life. Some people are martyrs. Some other things happen to people. You can find them in the Word and see. But I think a lot of people, God has a lot more for most people than what they have. Because what God has for us, I assure you, money cannot buy. So I'm sharing these thoughts. Paul said, you know, that he was a student of Gamaliel, the greatest Hebrew scholar of his time. And he had been born again for quite a while in Romans chapter 7 when he wrote, I don't understand myself, because it's just not that easy. But you know what? It's pertinent. It's a key thing that you want to know. And to understand yourself, you have to get a little bit better understanding of God than what most people have. Let's go to the next place. I've only got two more places to go. And I'm going to explain now what the problem is. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17 with me, and we'll look at verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, I'm going to read out of the King James Bible, verses 9 and 10. And the title of my message is Understanding Your Heart, or Understanding Yourself. These two verses that I'm reading talks about your heart. And this is what the Word says. And I'm going to say it to you on a personal level, and I'm including myself. Maybe I should say it to myself first. My heart is deceitful above all things, and it's right inside of me. It's where I get my thoughts and my actions. My heart is the most deceitful thing about me. Now let's say it to you. Your heart is the most deceitful thing about you, and it's in you. And then it says this here, and it's desperately wicked. But when you're born again, those things begin to change. Now, then it says this, who can know it? Many years ago, I began to understand Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. And I began to think, you know, like the Apostle Paul, I don't understand why I do some things, especially when I have to pay for the things I do. And you won't go very far in life, and whatever you do, you're going to reap what you sow. Galatians chapter 6 says, be not deceived, God will not be mocked. Whatsoever a person sows, that's what they're going to reap. If a person sows to their flesh, they're going to reap the whirlwind. That means that your life gets out of control, and this is where we get people dying young, doing crazy things, doing horrid things that aren't imaginable. So the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10 is the answer. I know it. God says, I know it. God knows your heart better than you know your own heart. I know it. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins like bridle reins, even to give every person according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And the key to understanding yourself is to have a relationship with the living God. My daughter Kelly began to have a relationship with God when she was 7 years old. She was born again, and her mama taught her the word, and we got her books and things that she could understand the Bible at her age, and she did just like her daddy. She just ate that stuff up. She just ate it up, and then it becomes a part of your life. Because man does not live by bread. Why did Jesus say that? Well, Satan was saying, look, you're saying you're the Son of God. Why don't you, here, take the stone and turn it into bread. You've been fasting. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's more important that you have an intake of the word and an outgoing of the word in your life than it is for you to have food every day. Natural food. See, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith and not by sight. What that means is we hear, feel, taste, or smell. If that's all that you're making your decisions and leading your life on is your five senses, I promise you, you're coming up short. And I promise you, you can do better than that. Animals, all the other animals, they live by their five senses. And God gave us dominion over all those animals. Place, fellas. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. This is an expression of Paul. This is what Paul said. You know, I started wondering these things when I was a punk doper growing up on the streets of Chicago, when I was involved in all kinds of terrible crimes, when I had joined several gangs. Realized I didn't want that. By the time I was 19, I realized I just wanted God in my life. I didn't want to have to live by anything else. But here's what Paul said when he wrote Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Oh, that I might know him. That I might know him. Ain't nothing. No matter what you want to do than knowing God. There is nothing at all more important than just knowing God. Oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. That means that I might lead a supernatural life. You know, the most supernatural thing you can do in life is to pray and get answers to prayer. That's powerful. Oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, and that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, we were all born to be born again, and we were all born to die to self and to live to Christ. It's the happiest life. It's the most peace. And some people have lived that kind of a life, and they've gone through terrible things. Some of them died young. Some of them lived to be very old. It really doesn't matter how old that you live to be if you don't know the Lord. Because let's say a person lives to be 120, 125. At the end of that, you're going to die. And you're going to go somewhere because you can't die, because you're made in the image of God. Part of that image is you're an eternal being, and right now in a body that's temporary. Well, how can that be? Well, that's what happened to Jesus when he came to earth, when he was laying in a manger. He was the Son of God and the second man, Adam, and he came on earth as a baby and lived that way, that we could be born again. Tonight, let's think of this. If you wonder about yourself, every normal human being does. If you ever wonder about, why do I do this or that, or why do I like this, or why don't I like this, it all has to do with God and what you've done with God in your life. And that's not my subject tonight, but it's my subject all the time. Could we make an altar or come to the altar and take communion and then go home? Pastor K, do we have anything we're giving away tonight? We've got food to give away tonight. Let's pray, y'all.